Welcome to another episode of Capital Connection. As always, I am your host, Matt Calder, and we are glad to have you here on the show today. On today's show, we're going to talk with Dr. Robert Libke. He is, of course, the policy director for the Civitas Institute, the director of policy for the Civitas Institute. And we will have him on to talk mostly about different education aspects of the budget, different things going on specifically about the teacher raises, other raises, talk about like other personnel in the school, going into some of the extra or targeted spending in the budget in regards to education spending, some of the line item budget things for local school districts that are maybe not the way that things traditionally would be funded or maybe should be funded. And we'll get into that with Dr. Robert Libke coming up on the show. But before we get to all that, I want to talk about subscribing to the show. If you're listening on the radio stations we play on every weekend, or if you're listening on the website directly, then you're not getting the show in the easiest way you could possibly get the show. And to do that, all you have to do is go into your phone or your tablet, and you can look up if you're an Apple user, Apple Podcast, or if you're an Android user, you might have to download an app, but there's plenty of free apps for podcasting, and search for Capital Connection there, and you will have the show automatically downloaded to your device, much like all the podcasts I listen to all come to my phone automatically. I don't have to think about it, don't have to worry about it, and you can do that as well. But that is not to say that there is not a good reason to be on the website and going to the website to listen to the shows. And the reason that there is a couple of weeks worth are saved in the podcasting apps, but the entire 2 years of shows under this name and under the name of What Matters in North Carolina before we made the switch a few months ago, all of that is there available to you. Those great evergreen shows, there's a lot of great content to unpack there if you want to go back and check out the show if you're fairly new to the show. And that's at freedomactionnetwork.com. But I also want to talk about social media for the show. We do have things going on social media outside of this, the show being uploaded. And that's on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Capital Connection or at NC Capital Connection. The social media for the show crosses content with nccapitalconnection.com, which is one of the other things I do. And that is more straight political news, state politics reporting versus what we do on the show over here, which is much more discussion, much more opinion involved in this, but you can go over to nccapitalconnection.com and check out all that content. And of course, again, the social media for those of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Capital Connection are really both of those coming together. But without any further ado, we'll get to our segment with Dr. Robert Libke. Bob, thanks for joining us back on the show.
It is good to be here, Matt. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a little while, but we're definitely glad to have you circling around again. And we're of course, you know, coming up on the end of this short session, or I guess ideally coming up on the end of this short session. The budget's been passed, and Governor Roy Cooper, of course, vetoed it. And now he is, you know, now the House and Senate have both overturned that veto with override votes, and now we have a budget. So the policy making portion of the budget is over and arguing over the figures, but it's still important to pay attention to the budget and still be unpacking some of this information from a very large spending document with billions and billions and billions of dollars being spent.
You sound like Carl Sagan. You might not catch that reference.
I don't.
He had a famous saying, billions and billions and billions of stars. He was an astronomer.
Oh, no, so. I've heard this statement before.
Okay.
Well, we have a budget with billions and billions and billions of dollars, not stars.
Good recovery.
Yes, and we're going to unpack a little more about that today. Kind of pulling from both of your hats of being the education guru at the Civitas Institute and also being the director of policy at the Civitas Institute. But to start, we're going to definitely go over to the education side and talk about what really eventually filtered out as far as teacher pay raises, other school employee pay raises, really kind of that segment of it, because it was a really hot button issue with the Red for Ed march and the governor mentioning teacher raises specifically in his veto, saying his plan had a higher average raise. I think the final figure was six average raise of 6.5%, and the governor's plan was 8%. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, that was correct. That was correct.
So, okay, great. Well, there we go. I look informed.
Okay. We're not quite done with the policymaking end yet. The budget's passed, but the legislature is definitely kind of in a wind-down mode, but this is really the time to really watch, you know, as they say, how the sausage is made, you know, and the end of the period, the budget period, oftentimes get a lot of things that slip through. So people that watch the legislature, organizations such as ours, you know, I try to watch closely this time of year because you have to scrutinize a lot of things that get passed and make sure that nothing slips through unnoticed. But as legislative leaders had said, they expect to be out by the end of the month. And I think this would be a first for me, and I've been here 11 years, that they actually finished up their work before the end of the fiscal year. Now, there is still time for that to derail, but it looks like they may have a good chance of doing that. That said, let's kind of just kind of highlight the major pros and cons about what I think people would be interested in from, you know, an overall budget side, and then focus a little bit on education. Obviously, the big sizzle issue, if you will, for education this session has been teacher pay. And as you mentioned correctly before, Matt, that the final figure that the legislature ended up putting in the budget bill for teacher raises was an average raise of about 6.5% for teachers. That's the fifth consecutive year that teachers have received a raise. And then if you add those cumulatively, since 2013-14, teacher pay has increased almost 20%. Now, that's a significant figure that oftentimes is left out of, you know, the discussion.
And quick question, and that's not cost of living adjustment
increases. I was just going to mention that.
Okay,
there we go. That's right. I mean, there are obviously people know that there's been mild inflation these last few years, and some of that has been added to help make up for that, but the fact still stands that over the last 5 years, teachers have been getting pay raises, and we want to make sure that that's, you know, part of the discussion. And as I said, the average teacher pay raise is 6.5% for this year. Now, when we've mentioned that in the past, people will call up and say, well, I have not gotten an average raise of 6.5%, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to know who makes that. That average, that figure comes from, as I said, the average of increases. There are some that make more. There are some that make less. So,
and you're not going to get calls from the people who are making more than 6.5. They're not going to. Well, they're not going to call up.
Well, and there say, are, and we'll talk. We'll talk about that a little bit more, because that wasn't the only. That was the overall teacher pay raise. Now they also added specific bonuses for teachers, you know, in different categories. For example, in the last couple of years, most of the pay raises have been targeted on younger teachers, starting teachers. As you remember, we wanted to get the starting pay up for teachers up to $35,000, and then a pay increase after that. A lot of people thought that the teachers that were more experienced, you know, had more than 25 years experience, were kind of left, you know, unnoticed and unrewarded. So this session, they allotted another $12 million for teachers with 25 more years of experience, that they can get bonuses up to almost $400. There's also principals, which is an important component in this whole discussion, were given an average pay increase of 6.9%. So that's a significant pay raise. There was discussion this last couple of years that that the average teacher pay or average pay for principals had fallen behind nationally, and that discussion came to the fore, and the legislature tried to correct that this session. In addition to the, you know, that average raise of 6.9%, they can also make up to bonuses up to $20,000 if their schools meet certain targets for academic growth. So that's a significant pay raise, and the legislature has been trying to tie bonuses and additional pay to academic performance. This is one area where, you know, it's got some teeth, where you can, where principals whose schools do meet growth guidelines and growth goals, they can make up to $20,000 per year. Now, those rewards for performance are also the case for elementary reading and math teachers, you know, whose students meet the read to achieve goals and also meet goals for growth in math. There's additional funding for bonuses for those teachers as well. So, and other school employees, people that aren't teachers, they will make on average about another 2% raise this year. So that's been a big priority. And so the facts you want to remember are the average teacher pay will go up 6.5% this year. And, you know, principals and other educators are eligible for bonuses when they meet certain academic goals. So that was a big part of the effort this year to address those concerns. And I hope as time goes on, you know, that this whole issue will start to recede a little bit more into the past, because it seems to be the issue that never goes away.
Right. And I mean, you kind of touched on it, that there was criticism about how low starting teacher pay was. So, you know, more of the, you know, maybe the lion's share of the raises went to the lower end of the spectrum to move that up. And then now we're putting, you know, money in the higher end of the spectrum to catch those teachers up. And are we going to reach a point of equilibrium where you can just give a 5% raise across the board? Are we going to get to a point where we've kind of evened things out to where everyone can just be moved up as one block?
Do you really want my answer to that question?
Oh, I do.
No, 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 no. If you were baiting me there, I don't know how you can't know that I'm not in favor of that. I mean, because I think the real solution to this whole dilemma is to get off the teacher salary schedule. Not because teachers don't deserve good wages and good opportunities to increase their pay just as much as everyone else, but I believe that holds people back because it treats everyone the same. And what that does is it kills incentives to excellence, because you will soon find out that no matter how hard you work as a teacher, you are limited in what you can earn. Okay? And
right.
The person that doesn't put as much effort into things realizes that they will be paid no matter what. What does that do? As humans, we respond to incentives. That is a disincentive, okay? And I think it's bad for teachers, it's bad for schools. Now, there was talk in the legislature initially four or five years ago when we started addressing the whole issue of teacher pay. And they backed off a little bit from that. But if you ask me my view on this, I think it would be best for teachers and for schools for ultimately for everyone to get off this salary schedule and to pay people as most people are paid based on their worth.
Negotiate for their own pay.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
So there's a pot of money. There's a pot of money to spread out among your teachers and have the local school districts or the principals apportion as they see fit.
You got it. I mean, who better than principals, you know, knows the value of teachers in individual schools?
Yeah.
And they should have the authority to do that. And I think in the long run, it would be better for everyone.
Right. And my first kind of thought was, you know, in a way it's similar, I guess, to how the military is paid and the salary schedule. But then I was thinking, you know, there is incentive in the military even. So there's, you know, promotions. And when you're promoted, you're making more than you were in the job before, the rank before. And, you know, maybe we should do that with teachers. You have like a private teacher, you know, private first class teacher, sergeant teacher.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that analogy because I was talking with someone about a month ago where they used the same analogy and they thought it was similar. And I would say not quite, because there's an up or out policy in the military, but it's also the structure is different in that it's in the military, it's a pyramid. It's not necessarily a pyramid in educational systems.
It's a big cube.
Well, yes, it's...
I mean, if you don't advance
that's
as
right.
you go through, eventually you'll get pushed out.
Like that's right. Guess. That's right. Saying. That impulse does not exist in the educational system. So that's a big difference. But in some respects, there are similar, but I wouldn't go as far as to say it's equal.
Well, I'm not saying it's equal. I'm saying maybe that's the solution if you want to stay in a salary schedule. You know, you start ranking teachers. They have to pass tests to get up to the next rank to make more money, and I don't think they like that.
Well, I don't know if I want to step on that.
You probably don't.
There are a lot of teachers. Teachers know who the good teachers are. They do. And it's no different than any other profession. People think we're bashing teachers. No, there are good, competent, excellent teachers. But unfortunately, human nature is such that there are also people who have entered the field that would probably do better being in some other field. So, and, you know, it just so happens that their errors get magnified because they're dealing with our children. You know, and their errors are there for everyone to see. So it's an area where I think we can do better, and I think most teachers probably would prefer a better system.
I think that there's a sense of safety and security in this pay schedule. And the teachers who want to be teaching and want to do a great job would be fine moving to this, you know, more privatized model with more local control. The ones who are not afraid of the work and doing work and working for what they make would be happy with this. But the ones who want to skate by, the ones who just want to go through, do their years, collect their retirement, and get out, those are the people who are going to oppose this. So, I mean, and I'm not going as far to say as anyone who opposes a privatized teaching, you know, model of teaching teacher pay is lazy. I'm not saying that, but you can, you know, say who would benefit from their principal having more control over what they paid them, and who would not benefit from it.
I would agree with you on that, Matt. In that the way our system is currently structured, as far as incentives, you know, it drives out good people. And people that, you know, might not necessarily want to work as hard, we have incentives for them to remain in the system. And that's bad for them, and it's bad for our kids. And we need to change that so that we keep energetic, young teachers who want to perform, want to excel, and we need to provide incentives for them to do so. Currently, the way it's set up, we aren't doing a very good job of keeping them. If you're in education and you graduated, say, what, 2013? 50% of the people that graduated with education degrees nationally are out of the field.
In 5 years.
That figure has been the same for about the last 10 years.
Really? Nationwide?
Nationwide. Graduates, 50% of the graduates are out of the field in 5 years. Now, that's very alarming. There are a number of reasons for that. One of them is pay, but also is the realization that if you're in that field for a couple of years and you're thinking at all, you realize your opportunity for making, you know, more money or advancing, it's not very good. And that needs to be changed. A number of states have done better jobs at that than we have, and we've been trying to improve that. But when you have 50% of the people leaving a field in 5 years, you have to start addressing those problems.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I would never have guessed that number. I mean, you kind of think of something as specialized as being a teacher. I mean, it's not a business degree where you can kind of do something in a lot of different areas. It's very general. It's fairly, you know, pretty specialized. And to be not doing it anymore nationwide, you know, 50% of people in 5 years, that's a shocking figure for me.
Yeah, and it should be. And it should get everyone's attention when it's that many people, because it reflects a lot of frustration. It reflects that people aren't necessarily achieving career growth or, you know, satisfaction in that field, and we need to do something.
All right, so we kind of talked over the teacher raises, and, you know, we talked about some of the good things going on in the budget as far as education. What are some of the bad things that are happening?
Well, I remember when I first got in this job in 2007, I think, you know, and the power was flipped in the legislature. And one of the things that we used to write a lot about is, you know, the waste in government and how, you know, money was apportioned to groups, you know, by the legislature in ways that people would object to. Well, unfortunately, that process hasn't stopped. Now, for a while, when the leadership changed from Democrat to Republican, the first couple of years that Republicans had their say, they changed a number of things, and the pork wasn't as prevalent, shall we say. But that slowly has started to come back, and our colleague here, Brian Balfour, had written on our website about some of those pork projects. I think he highlighted some of the $30 million that we're talking about.
Right, and we actually have interviewed him for the show as well.
Yes, and I'm sure that was informative to all the listeners, but I just like to chime in there and say, unfortunately, it hasn't stopped, and in many ways, I know Brian and I have talked about this, it's gotten worse on Republicans, I think, are beginning to think that they can get away with a lot of this stuff that people aren't watching, and, you know, it might just be in the press for a day or two, and, you know, they'll take the risk at it, seeing if they can pull the wool over people's eyes. We have to make sure that that doesn't happen. One of the new things this past year that I noticed, and I've been trying to track this for, as I said, almost close to a decade, and Brian also noticed it as well, because we talked a little bit about it, is in this past year, there's been an awful lot of projects of, well, money that's been passed through to individual school districts. You know, for various programs, for various reasons, you know, whether it be, you know, for athletic equipment or fields or school safety issues or, you know, conferences, et cetera, but they're individual carve-outs. Now, are we against school spending, et cetera? You know, these issues may be, if they're important, they would be funded, but why do we have to go, why do these not stand on their own merit? You know, and they are funded at a local level. Why is state money used for this to be given to individual districts? Now, you can take the, you know, the jaded perspective of people that watch politics and say, well, Lipke, you're being naive. You know, this is the way the legislature functions. In order to win votes, you have to, you know, have to give people a little something every now and then to keep people, you know, on board and happy, and, you know, give money for individual pet projects. Well, that doesn't have to happen. I mean, we have to hold to our principles and realize that's everyone's money, you know, and it, and people say, well, it's only $500,000. That adds up. As Brian showed, it was $30 million. That's a lot of money. So we are trying to, you know, publicize that and realize that we believe Republicans need to change in that regard. And that, as we said before, You know, it's $30 million, and the spigot on pork is, you know, that's starting to open up a little bit more than people should be comfortable with.
And it seems like that's the type of thing that once you start doing it, it's so easy to keep it going.
That's right. That's right. And Republicans, conservatives, we should all be appalled at that. It should, those projects should stand on their merits individually. And just because people have access to the money, it doesn't mean that they should dole that out as individual favors. It's not right.
Right. And then that's the thing is that, again, it's so easy to hear this discussion and assume, you know, Bob Lipke doesn't support this so-and-so project in this county. And you go, no, it's that this money is the entire state's money being used to benefit a very small group for, arguably, for political gain.
Can't say it any better.
There we go. I mean, it's just kind of, that was kind of where we ended up with Brian in his segment as well. That was, you know, we're not against these projects offhand, you know, but how they're being gone about is the problem. And that's so easy to lose in that shuffle.
Yeah, it's got to be, you got to protect the process. And the process is such that, you know, everyone should vote on these. And if they're particular, if they're projects for individual districts, and they should go through the process by which that happens on an individual basis.
Exactly. And I don't think we actually can do it any better than that and wrap it up in a nice little bow. I'll go ahead and have to call this segment, I guess. But thank you for coming on the show and talking with us again.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, all right. Thank you for being on the show for another episode of Capital Connection. We're glad to have you with us for another week. If you want to check out what's going on outside of the show, of course, again, there's a social media. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter or Instagram, all at Capital Connection, or search NC Capital Connection. Or if you want to do it directly, it's at NC Capcon, at NCCAPCONN. The social media for the show crosses content with nccapitalconnection.com, and that is more straight political news, state politics reporting versus what we do on the show over here, which is much more discussion, much more opinion involved in this. But you can go over to nccapitalconnection.com and check out all that content. And of course, again, the social media for those of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Capital Connection are really both of those coming together. If you're listening on the radio stations we play on every weekend, or if you're listening on the website directly, then you're not getting the show in the easiest way you could possibly get the show. And to do that, all you have to do is go into your phone or your tablet, and you can look up, if you're an Apple user, Apple Podcast, or if you're an Android user, you might have to download an app, but there's plenty of free apps for podcasting, and search for Capital Connection there, and you will have the show automatically downloaded to your device, much like all the podcasts I listen to all come to my phone automatically. I don't have to think about it, don't have to worry about it, and you can do that as well. But that is not to say that there is not a good reason to be on the website and going to the website to listen to the shows. And the reason that there is a couple of weeks worth are saved in the podcasting apps, but the entire 2 years of shows under this name and under the name of What Matters in North Carolina before we made the switch a few months ago, all of that is there available to you. Those great evergreen shows, there's a lot of great content to unpack there if you want to go back and check out the show if you're fairly new to the show. And that's at freedomactionnetwork.com. But however you are listening to the show, we thank you and we'll catch you next time.